First of all, it is a real incredible schus to be able to speak in such a context. I was not personally zocha to know Michael at all. I did on Motzi Shabbos. I was in touch with Rav Waxman a lot in terms of trying to choose a topic that would be appropriate. I had the opportunity a couple of days ago to speak for a while with Rabbi Jason DePell, who's also a friend of Michael's, to try and get a bit of a handle in terms of who he was, and certainly just an incredible statement how many people have come to hear and to honor his memory, and that's something which is personally very, very inspiring. Well, one of the things that I heard about him was someone who was really incredibly focused in a certain singular way, to someone who was able to really be exceptionally productive and to be able to accomplish a lot in a bunch of different realms, and to be able to do so in a way where when a person's really sort of, when a person has a goal and they're able to accomplish things, it's really very inspiring. And to interact with some of the people who have who knew him well, it's certainly something which again, hopefully we as a group can learn from. The Birshus, all the family members, Shishav Isaacson, who's here also. Let's start. We're talking about maximizing time, and we're going to try and talk about it from a couple different perspectives. From the world of halacha, from the world of hashkafa, we may see the world of hashkafa is not maybe the most precise word. We'll deal with some halachic sources, and we'll talk a little bit about a Hasidic perspective. I want to offer a bit of a background to the topic, just so we can understand that I think why it's a relevant topic. That there is a journal started a couple of years ago called Klal Perspectives, an interesting journal, and there are different articles written there about the state of the Orthodox community. And a Rabbi Shlomo Goldberg is a classic name. Rabbi Shlomo Goldberg is a menahel out in L.A. who suggested that one of the things that yeshivas should speak more about is, instead of just rigorous or classic Talmud Torah, to speak about or to develop some sort of a curriculum on important life skills. Instead of learning, his example, how to be a husband or a father while you're on the job, to get some preparation in advance is something which can certainly be helpful. And one of the things he speaks about is the skill of time management, of time allocation. And I know that for me, and I assume for many, many others, one of the great challenges we have in life is the challenge of how to spend our time. Have better time. For those of us who are learning in yeshiva now full time, that's one kind of a question. We have a whole day, a certain singular focus, and the question of how we're going to spend it is something which is certainly one kind of a struggle. And as life progresses, and suddenly you have many more responsibilities, the question becomes all the more complicated. Suddenly I'm balancing, and I'm balancing in a very good way. Let's say I want to learn, but I'm aware of a Mishnah Maseches Avos in source number 2. Imein kemach ein Torah, imein Torah ein kemach, imein Torah ein derech eretz, imein derech eretz ein Torah. It's a life-way person is not, at least in a narrow sense, capable of focusing all the time on purely spiritual means. And a person has to engage in lots of activities. Those with families, we pass in discussion in the Gemara in a couple of places, but we are thrilled about the fact that we have families, even if that comes at the expense of some of our own personal time. That's something which is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And how we balance it is certainly something which is a challenge. I want to try and talk briefly from a halachic perspective about one issue. It's a very large topic. We're going to speak about it in a bit of a more thorough way. But to try and speak about a little bit from a halachic perspective and then some other implications and what comes from there. On one level, if we're going to speak at all about how a person allocates time, how a person spends their time, so the first step is really a question of assessing priorities. What my main priorities are, so that I'm going to want to spend more time doing them, things that are secondary, I'm going to spend less time doing. There's no chidushim there in that. If you look in Chazal in a couple of different contexts, we learn for sure about the chiyuv of Talmud Torah. The requirement upon men to learn Torah. And that is a requirement described in the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Hey, the Gemara in Menachos and Daf Tzadi Tes. The Gemaras do not at all fit together. The Rishonim point this out a little bit. But the first question, from a halachic perspective, dealing with a question like, what do I do with my time? The first question is, so what am I chayav to do? What am I actually required to do? If I have more flexibility, if there's a If the answer is, I can really do whatever I want, so then I have more freedom. If I've set obligations, then things are a bit more narrow. We spoke with some of the guys a couple months ago. Rav David Stav, in his book Bein Hazmanim, talks about, from a passage of Rav Kook, whether there is this sort of middle ground called Rishus. Is it this middle ground where I can sort of have some freedom, where there's no sense of obligation or anything like that, but I can sort of decide to do whatever I want with it? One of the primary questions is certainly the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah. The Gemara here tells Maseches Brachos, a very well-known Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, V'sasa Deganecha. We quote the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Yishmael maintains, Yachal Drakat Tavan, Tamil V'sasa Deganecha, Hanig Behen Minhag Derech Eretz. A person is required, says Rabbi Yishmael, a person has to have a job. We have multiple obligations at play. We'll speak later about a very important debate we've shown him as to what the breakdown is. But on level number one, Rabbi Yishmael teaches us that a person has an obligation to, or a person has responsibility to be able to get a job. That's something which is certainly accepted by many of the Rishonim. The Rambam very famously critiques those who are not actively going out to make a living. But Rav Shimon bar Yochai has a different approach, where he writes, "After Adam Choris b'shas Charisha v'zareya b'shas Ria, Torah matehei alea." I don't get it, says Rabbi Yishmael. Says Rav Shimon bar Yochai, I don't have that much time. If I want to maximize my time, so I can't engage in certain activities. Because if I'm engaging in those activities, Torah matehei, what's going to happen with my Torah? What's going to happen with my learning? So he suggests, if I'm learning well, bisman, or when Klal Yisrael are functioning well, bisman she Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom, when Klal Yisrael is doing the will of God and everything's taken care of, then I will not need to work. The Gemara tells us, and it concludes as far as this machlokes goes, Amar Abayi harbei asu k'Rabbi Yishmael v'also b'yadam. A lot of people did what Rabbi Yishmael did. They recognized that even in the quest to maximize time, it's impossible to exclusively focus just on learning. It's not going to work as well. And they were successful with that balance. How they balanced it, we don't yet know. But they were successful with that balance. But those that thought they would exclusively focus just on learning, lo al subiyadam. It certainly did not work for the masses. It certainly didn't work across the board. The first point from a time management, from a maximizing time perspective, is the following. What the Gemara here concludes with, and certainly the Gemara Menachos, and we have in the brackets there, number 6, some of the Rishonim in the Dharam relate to, but certainly what the Gemara teaches us, for those that are maximizing time and spending their time effectively, it doesn't always mean the best way to do it is solely through a singular path of exclusive focus on Talmud Torah, that harbei asu k'Rabbi Yishmael v'alsa b'yadan, that a certain balance is what ultimately was more successful. That's one of the things that when I got an email Moshe Shabbos from Rav Waxman, who was quoting one of the friends of Michael, one of the things they said was, someone who was exceptionally productive with their time, it was a nice formulation I had. It wasn't that he was learning all day, although he certainly was learning. It was that throughout his day, the things he valued and he viewed to be very important came together in a very powerful way. And they came together in a very productive way. That this idea of a Rabbi Yishmael, harbei asu k'Rabbi Yishmael v'alsa b'yadan, that a lot did like Rabbi Yishmael and they were very, very successful, is certainly something which is there. What we don't have that much evidence for in Chazal is what that balance is and what that tension is. Even if I accept the Rabbi Yishmael approach, so then where's the tension, where's the balance, how much of each? And I want to, there's a well-known Or Sameach, another comment of Rav Kook, in Ma'amarei Ra'aya, where you find, I think, two different ideas, each of which is very important. The Or Sameach points something out. He points at a couple places in his Sfarim. He points out in the Or Sameach here in Hilchos Talmud Torah, he points out in a comment in the Meshech Chachma, which is the following. I know that one of, at least my great challenges in giving shiur, is being able to speak to a room of people at different levels. That is hard. The field of education, differentiated instructions made it a bit simpler, but that's very, very hard. How you talk to people at different levels. There's no way that God, in giving over the Torah, had to deal with some of those issues in probably a much more complex and sophisticated way. To give over certain chiyuvim, so I'm giving over 613 mitzvos. But how do you give that in a way where it's relevant to each individual? How do you give that, if Torah is accessible to, how do you give it over in a way where it's able to be relevant. It's able to push some in a certain ambitious manner, and also have a certain kind of a baseline. The Or Sameach's theory in a couple of places is a fascinating one, which is the Torah is at times essentially, intentionally ambiguous. The Torah does not always tell us all of the details about all halachas. The Torah sometimes gives us certain broad categories, but leaves vague what all the details are. Says the Or Sameach, that's what happens in regards to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Essentially a two-tiered chiyuv. There is a base-level obligation. That base-level obligation is, also not entirely clear, possibly Kriya Shema in the morning, Kriya Shema at night, at least for some. There's a base-level obligation all have. Beyond that, says the Or Sameach, the Torah is vague because the Torah understands that as far as my obligation in Talmud Torah, how I allocate my time, how I spend my, how much time is dedicated towards it, is an individual question dependent on some important factors. Says the Or Sameach, what's the factor that's going to inform my obligation? The fi hergilo lefi tohar nafsho shel ha'adam. Ki eino domeh b'chiyev Talmud Torah each asher nafsho margeset b'sichla hazach v'nikshra b'Talmud Torah ahava l'Talmud Torah l'ish asher kochov nafsho near piv v'atzel. There's the difference between people who are naturally, they struggle with learning. Naturally, they struggle, they have certain kinds of dispositions that make it harder for them. And people that connect to it more naturally. People that are pulled to it more. The Or Sameach says there's a base level obligation of Talmud Torah we all have, but there's something beyond that that depends on each person, and that question is going to be a question where it's not you're in one of two categories. There's a spectrum, and what I have the capacity to do, so that's where I'm going to be. The Mishnah Brura, when he even just summarizes this, not the Or Sameach, he has a little bit of a different line here. The Ikar Mitzvah Talmud Torah in Lashir, there's no set obligation, I need to learn this amount or that amount. Whenever you have free time, then you're obligated to learn. That's something you have, the Kiyos Yaakov has a line like that. The first, or an additional issue, in terms of the allocation of time. Talmud Torah, we saw, we require some sort of a balance that Chazal tell us, exclusive focus is going to be dangerous. Suddenly comes along the Or Sameach, comes along the Mishnah Brura, so it's going to depend on different people. If you look in source number 9, you'll see other formulations like that. It's going to be dependent on some individuals like this, some individuals like that. For the Or Sameach, the criteria we use in figuring out how much time for this, how much time for that, when it comes to Talmud Torah at least, has in part to do with my natural disposition, how much I connect to it and how much I'm bonded to it. For the Mishnah Brura, it's a little bit of a different focus. It's a question of, do I have time or do I not have time? What are my obligations? What are not my obligations? Rav Kook, this will conclude the first section. Rav Kook and Ma'amarei Raya has a little bit of a different idea and a fascinating one at that. It's based on a little bit of a contradiction. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that the first question a person is asked, La'achar Me'ev Esrim, that the first question the person is asked at Yom Adin is Nasata ve Aslan Bemuna. Did a person literally did a person work honestly in their business? Think in the Mirkaz Harav world. They like to interpret that as far as did you work on your Amuna? Did you invest enough in your faith? I think that's how they say it over there. But the simple side of the Gemara, were you honest in your business? Some of the Rishonim point out the Gemara and other places tell us the first question you're asked is a question are questions on Divrei Torah. Did you learn effectively? That's a steer that some struggle with. Rav Kook has the following suggestion. Rav Kook maintains there are really two tracks. There's one tier, there's one track which demands a certain pure focus on learning. Those are people, Rav Kook writes here, the Talmidei Chachamim Ha'oskim Batorah, Lilmo Tamid Yom V'Layel Lefi Kochel. There are people that choose one track, the Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai track, and says Rav Kook, that's a track where the first question that they get asked is not a question about did you work honestly? That's a question about Talmud Torah. But says Rav Kook, that's not true when it comes to people who work and people that have a certain balance. With them, for them, the question of learning is, did you have set times when you learn? Lahem daya chova pisa in the Torah. Akin etzlam she ikir ma madam balamazeh wa masav matan sholim nasata resata bemuna. That when it comes to others, people who are working more, them, that's the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. For them, the first question is going to be, were you honest in your business? Let's review what we saw so far. We can state some of the background. We saw so far, we're talking about time management. We're trying to talk about maximizing time, how I spend my time, how I allocate my time. We saw that when it comes, one, the first question we want to deal with is a question of what are my core obligations? One of those obligations is certainly Talmud Torah. And in assessing that, we saw a couple of things. We saw, number one, a Gemara in Brachos. A little bit of a machlokas. But certainly, Harbei Asuk Rabbi Yishmael V'Alsa B'Yadam, people acted like Rabbi Yishmael. They were successful. That a certain balance is necessary. How much time learning? How much time not learning? So we saw three factors in assessing how much time. We saw the Or Sameach factor based on my own leanings and my capacity. We saw a second factor in the Mishneh Berurah, a question of time. Do I have time or do I not have time? And we saw a third question of Rav Kook, which is, which track am I choosing? Which track am I choosing? Akan, as far as some of the halachic background. The million-dollar question that I think is very tricky, and here we sort of leave the realm of halacha in the narrow sense, is, let's take Mishneh Berurah for a second. If I have time, so then I'm obligated to learn. What are my standards? What are my standards for having time? I could be busy all day doing a lot of things. What are my standards? What am I willing to do, and what am I going to call free time? What am I going to call things that are available now and things are not available? How do I balance that? How do I know what that is? How do I know what that is? Tonight, I will, I feel that same simcha as Rav Jacobson, but after that, so, do I have free time or not have free time? I like to cook for Shabbos. I find it to be exceptionally enjoyable. Let's say we don't need me to cook for Shabbos, but I enjoy it, I want to do it. Do I have free time or not have free time? Am I chayev to learn or not chayev to learn them? I follow the news. Is that called free time or not called free time? I like hanging out with my children. It's a lot of fun. Not when I get back at 11 o'clock from weddings. But, although last night I was zocha to a post-wedding hangout with my year-and-a-half-year-old. But, he wanted breakfast at 12:30. First he was pointing, and then we went all the way, and my wife, he rarely gets in the middle of the night, so he's pointing. So, what does he want? And he pointed to his toys. So he went to play with his toys for a couple minutes, went back in, and he's pointing again, and he wanted breakfast. Midnight snack for the year and a half year old. So the question of balancing time is tricky, and it's not simple. I have multiple things I want to do. Multiple things that I want to do that are holy and righteous. Not that are productive. How's the person balance? In many ways that's a hashkafa question. What are the things that are going to inform what I view as being productive and what's viewed as having free time? That's going to be a question that's going to be informed by a lot of different backgrounds. You find a fascinating machlokas in the Tovos Yishanim and Masechas Yuma. A fascinating machlokas. The Mishnah tells us in Avos, Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Torah is great with Derech Eretz, with working. It's a wonderful thing. There is a machlokas harishon between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Elchanan, one of the Baalei HaTosfos. I believe his grandnephew, is that... Really, with people? Anyone? No? What does he do in cheer? No? What?
On the board.
He's on the board, probably, right? You have a machlokas at the following point. Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Talmud Torah is good with Derech Eretz. Okay. Which is primary?
Yafet Yom HaKippur im Tshuva. Or the opposite order. Forget it. Yafet Yom HaKippur im Tshuva.
Tshuva Yom Kippur are great. Which is primary? The first or the second? Rabbeinu Elchanan, let's start with, interprets it as we would probably most of us would interpret. Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. The first thing is primary. Talmud Torah is primary, and Derech Eretz becomes secondary.
In orientation like that, you see in the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Aleph Yud Beis, the Rambam describes the way that a person ideally should have their life. What's his example? Kate said, "Hayah bal umnas, you have a job. Vaya osek b'malato shalosh shaos b'yom v'torah teisha. 3 hours a day on work, 9 hours a day on learning." That's probably not going to happen for most of us.
or probably any of it. I mean, not as realistic. Even the Rambam's own life, it wasn't as realistic. We have letters to the Rambam. That's not how he spent his time. But the Rambam seems to as some sort of an ideal model. The Rambam, it's a Talmud Torah, which is Iker. It's an Iker in a quantitative sense, Iker in a qualitative sense, that even if I'm maximizing, I want to be as focused as possible on spiritual pursuits. I'm going to try it, you know, to whatever extent I can. Rabbi Tam learns differently. Rabbi Tam says, Yafa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Yafa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. The second is always primary. Derech Eretz is primary, Talmud Torah is secondary. That's Rabbi Tam says. Rabbi Tam was into learning. He valued it a lot. So that haven't, yeah. Rabbi Tam is really into things. Yafa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, Talmud Torah is secondary. How is that possible? What does it mean that Talmud Torah is secondary? I went out with two friends over Sukkot. I was telling someone recently. And anecdotes are... I went out to Joy in Manila, I think. It was wonderful. So I had two friends. I am full-time in the world of learning and teaching. It was two friends. One of them is a dentist. One of them is getting his doctorate in social work and works social worker. And they had the following debate, the two of them. Echoes of Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Elchanan. Echoes of it. The dentist said that his ideal, the best part of his day when he gets to sit down and learn, and if it was financially viable, the second he could, he'd stop and he would learn all day. Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, Talmud Torah for him, that's the primary and that's Iker, and everything else is just secondary. Social worker said, I love the learning that I have. I love the job I have. I love the fact that I'm able to interact with people. I find it not to be some sort of a concession because financially, I need to do that. I do it because it's something which I find to be very productive. I'm helping people. It's a great usage of time. It's a great usage of time. The Rabbeinu Tam here seems to be saying a very similar kind of an idea. Derech Eretz is primary. Talmud Torah is secondary. Von Lichtenstein, in By His Light, adapted, I believe, from his from some of his sichot. Lichtenstein suggests the following idea, and this I think is important as far as how one relates to time in general. Lichtenstein writes that from a qualitative perspective, there is no question that learning or pure spiritual pursuits are primary. The debate between the Baalei HaTosfos here is not a question about what is from a qualitative perspective primary, but a question about how we quantitatively spend our time. What am I going to be doing with the time that I have? What von Lichtenstein points out as being Shana Rabbeinu Tam is a fundamental idea as far as how we spend our time and how we allocate our time. There are a lot of things that are constantly pulling at us. There are a lot of demands that we may have throughout the day. What it doesn't mean at all is that sometimes the things that I find to be very, very valuable, I may not spend as much time on as some other things. How much time I spend on something is not always indicative of how much time of what I value. I may, in any given day, I try to spend a lot of time with my children. I may spend, you know, depending on the new copy machines, wonderful. There's stretches where I spend more time at the copy machine than with my son. It's not because I value making copies more than I value time with my children. It's because sometimes there are certain things that we have to get done, but what we spend our time with does not always have to indicate what is primary in our lives. We started out by saying that the priorities are critical in any discussion about how we use our time. But here we're getting a little bit of a deepening idea. This is partially going to be based on certain hashkafic leanings. But it's not always going to be throughout our lives that which we find most important is that which we will do most often. Sometimes there are things that we will value tremendously, but because of other concerns, we'll have to spend less time doing it. The Tziv famously commented that the masmid is not someone who learns all day, it's someone that learns 60 minutes in an hour. Someone that, when they are doing something, they are singularly focused in it. I believe that in a state of flow, is that possible? That's what it's referred to now? In a state of flow? Where does that come from?
Research about when you're in a mindset where you're really, really focused and working really
hard. Okay, great. I learned the word this week, but I came home. My wife says she's in a state of flow. So I was... to be exclusively... When you're doing it, to be in it. There's one thing about allocating time, something else that every minute is an important minute. And when I'm in it, I'm investing. And when I'm in it, I'm very, very serious. Let's just pause where we saw so far so we can talk a little bit about
Hasidic perspectives on time. We spoke so far about the importance of time management. We spoke a little bit about different perspectives as far as chiyuvim that I have. We focused on one chiyuv, and that is Talmud Torah, and how there's a range of views and a range of factors. We saw that a person who wants to be balanced, so sometimes there are questions of quantitative, of how I'm going to dedicate my time. Sometimes there are qualitative issues also, in terms of how much time I have to. Sometimes I don't have as much time quantitatively, but I can spend a lot of... the quality is also very, very important. Chassidim have a complex relationship with time. Step one. Chassidim don't always daven that early in the morning. Some of us may be familiar with that. Not all Chassidim, but some. But some. You know, the classic Litvish, you know, don't have shilas like, when I'm davening Shachas after Chatzos on Friday, do I say Tachanun? That's not like a... It's a certain kind of a certain kind of orientation that Hasidim have with time. If you look, for example, in source number 17, it's like a lot of the Hasidish poskim struggle with the fact that they, not all Hasidim daven in the most precise time. So some of them give halachic explanations, and many of them don't. The Zisha Rim here has like the following just kind of Tfilas ha'erev ein lakeva. The simple pshat, as far as what's simple pshat of the Gemara? Tfilas ha'erev ein lakeva. Ma'ariv is what's ein lakeva? Gedul all night. Says the Zisha Rim. Tfilas ha'erev ein lakeva. Tfilah that is arev, that is sweet. There's no set time. Whenever you want. That's his. I wouldn't call it like a halachic justification. That is, although he's quoting a halachic source, he's just not reading it in its whatever he's doing to it. But it is a complex relationship to time. On the one hand, time is not the strength of all Hasidim. On the other hand, you do find a lot in Chassidus Sfarim an emphasis on kedushas hazman. On time being something which is holy. Time, for many Hasidim, and it's based a lot on the writings of the Arizal and Chaim Vital, is something which is exceptionally unique. We'll look here in source number 14, in Eitz Chaim or Chaim Vital. Every moment, there are different things happening. Tikkuni Zohar. Levushin that you lovest, but Safra lo lovest, but Rams lovest, lovest, but Yuma da lo lovest, but Yuma Tanina. That the whatever's happening in the world, there's a difference in what's happening in the morning to what's happening in the afternoon. What's happening today is different than what's happening tomorrow. The Sfas Embes in source number 16. Kimasha Barsham Isbarach Olam Hazelios Mitzchadis Bechoyom Vishana Hula Tova. Chassidim, while they are, let's say, somewhat lax with their punctuality at times, certainly emphasize at length the notion of times are unique. Every time there's something special at every moment, and to tap into that moment and what it really requires and what it really offers. Shabbos is not just a time of Isser Malacha, it's a time of a unique Kedushas Hazman. It's a time of a unique capacity to tap into what is special about a particular time. It's a time, and this is true in the writings of the here, not only about what's happening on a Shabbos when there's a time where there's more Kedusha, but this morning is unique, and I'll never have this morning back. How do the two things fit together? If time is so important, if every situation, every moment, I'm never going to get again, why be so lax with some of the tefillah stuff? Why not be so precise with how punctual I am? For Hasidim, and this is where it gets some of the hashkafik, what's important for a Hasid, what's important in Torah HaChasidus, so the narrow shaila of, do I need to daven now, or zrizim ma'adimah, do I need to do it as early as possible, sometimes loses out to other very important values. If I can prepare for a long time, that's something which is also very chashuv, that's something which is also very important. To tap into the time, but for a chassid, the question is, I want to maximize my time. I want to take my time very, very seriously. But when I'm taking advantage of my time, what's called, how do I want to spend my time, what's called being important for me, that's where you're going to have a range. And again, that's where some of the hashkafic questions come in. What is so important for me to spend my time on? We spoke a couple weeks ago, I think, about how Rabbi Leibler Eger used to come very late to Bris Milas. He used to show up very, very late. And for him, the notion of starting early was less important than his preparations beforehand. That there are always questions of priorities, and depending on our leanings, depending on where we're from, we're going to structure our priorities accordingly. Maybe we will just summarize and end with a quick anecdote. Or Maisa, I guess. There is a... We spoke a lot about how a person relates to time, how a person prioritizes what they do. We spoke in it from a halakha perspective, at least one element of it, as far as what a person's narrow obligations are, how does a person an obligation of Talmud Torah. We spoke a little bit about balancing three different perspectives, how a person knows how much I have to learn, how much not to learn. Questions like personal dispositions, questions like how much time do I have, questions like what am I doing with my job, have I chosen a track to be exclusively focused or not. We spoke about how some of this has to do with some of the hashkafic questions of what's called having time, what's not called having time. How do I allocate my time? We noted a very important point, which is that that which I view as most important may not always be that which I spend the most of my time doing. That's not always going to be the case, but to have time for those priorities. We spoke about a Hasidic idea that time it's always unique. It's never going to align the same way again. This Thursday night will never be repeated. The way things are structured, the way things are set up. We'll end with just a quick... 3 minutes, is that okay? End with a quick... Maisa. Shlomo Carlebach is very fond of this story. I think there are others that have different versions of the story. I don't know whose version I'm sharing right now. It's the version I remember. Sorry for the lack of an academic source. Hence, 19, the Chuzas clock, has no source next to it. I apologize. The story goes that the son of the Chozev Lublin, after his father passed away, had his father's possessions, and he was very, very poor. And as he was once traveling after his father passed away, and he got stuck in a terrible storm, terrible rain, and he needed to stay at an inn. He stayed at the inn, and when morning came, the innkeeper said, "So, can I, this is the bill, can you please pay for it?" He said, "I don't have any money, but I have some possessions for my father, who was a big rabbi." Looks at the possessions. He wasn't that into, I guess, his, like, I don't know, whatever, like, reddish of things there are. He wanted the clock. He had a clock from his father. That was a worthwhile thing. He could put that up. He took the clock and put it up. Many years later, one of the different versions as to who it was, the Or HaMeir, I think is how someone used to tell it over, visited that inn. He visited that inn, and he stayed in a particular room, and the whole night he couldn't sleep because he heard the clock ticking. Now, some of us know that sometimes because the clock is just, it's annoying us and we can't get it out of our mind, and the clock is just ticking away. But the clock is, he can't sleep the whole night. He comes in the next morning and he says to the innkeeper, "What's the deal? What's the deal with that clock? Where'd you get it?" So he says, "Oh, a long time ago, there was a Hasidic guy came by and he couldn't afford the rent, so he gave me this, was from his father." So our mayor said, "That must be the clock of the Chozev Lublin." He said, "The difference between the clock of the Chozev Lublin," and again, if all Chasidim Isis, are hit or miss. The Chozev said, he said, "It must be the clock of the Chozev Lublin. Because the difference between the clock of the Chozev and everyone else is the following. Most clocks, when you hear the second, when it ticks, it's another second gone, another second that I lost. So the clock of the Chozev Lublin, because of the way that he used his time, because of the way that he was always progressing, every tick you always heard, we're one second closer to our ultimate destination." It is a great tzchus for us in Yeshivat Shalavim to be able to host this shir. May we be zocha to relate to time, just like Michael did, to be able to relate to time in a very meaningful way. And hopefully to wait the time, not in a way where it's 1 second past, but we are 1 second closer to our ultimate destination. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful Shabbos.
He says that.